chapter 2 of this podcast, Paracymatics. Now, what is that? First off, let me spell it for you. P-A-R-A hyphen C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S. Paracymatics. This is a new field of study that I have created. Paracymatics is transforming non-physical vibrational energy molds into physical patterns and sigils used to create paranormal activity, thought forms, and tulpas of all kinds. My friends, in my experience with my experiments so far, this is highly effective. I'm going to tell all of you right now how this works and how that you can use this for free to prove to yourself that it works. At least if you have the same experience that I've had. But hey, that's why these things are called experiments, because you don't know. I enjoy experimenting with things that are very difficult, if not impossible, to test using the traditional scientific method, where you can't just put something in a controlled environment and necessarily quantify it, right? So, this work was really inspired by my visit to see Robert the Haunted Doll for the first time in 2010. Surely you know who Robert the Haunted Doll is. He is this spooky little doll. He's actually quite big. He's about 3 feet tall, who lives now at a museum in Key West, Florida. He's over 100 years old. For many, many years, all throughout the decades, people have claimed he has come to life, and they have all these freaky stories attributed to him. Supposedly, the screenwriter for the movie Child's Play was inspired by stories of Robert the Doll to write about Chucky. In fact, I even have a booklet about Robert the Doll that you can download and read online. All you have to do is go to my Curiosity Shop, which you'll find on my webpage, joshuapwarren.com. You'll see at the top it says Curiosity Shop there. Anyway, I went to visit Robert the Haunted Doll, and I got a special advantage because I was there doing a report for Coast to Coast AM, and I was very fortunate. The powers that be in charge of Robert the Doll were kind enough to remove a glass case that had been around him for years. And because of that, as a part of my investigation, I was able to shine a nice bright UV light on Robert the Doll. Now, usually, or generally speaking, glass blocks most UV light. So other investigators who have gone there in the past would not have had this opportunity, I'm presuming. So I took advantage of it. I shined a UV light on him, and boom, I see this symbol that appeared on his little outfit that looked kind of like a distorted snowflake. But it was only visible under UV light, not visible otherwise. And I wondered what the heck this may be. Now, mind you, the story behind Robert is that he was in part created by a servant of a wealthy family who practiced voodoo. She was from Haiti. They say she became disgruntled with the family and that she put some kind of spell on this doll to sort of curse people who were around it. Or something along those lines. We'll never know for sure. And I started talking on the radio about this weird symbol, and people started contacting me saying, oh, well, that must be a sigil. And at that time, I wasn't even sure what a sigil was. Now I know a lot about sigils. A sigil is a magical symbol that you would put on some object or item to sort of seal the ritual. The term sigil derives from the Latin word sigillum, which literally means seal. Some think it might also be related to the Hebrew word sigula, which means action or word or talisman. But anyway, sigils have been used for thousands of years. They were especially heavily used during the Middle Ages and a lot of the rituals that were taking place then. There's a book called The Lesser Key of Solomon that's got all kinds of spells and stuff, and it's got sigils in it. But basically, the idea behind a sigil is, look, when you're creating a spell, what you're really doing is you're creating some type of a thought form or an energy mold for what you want to happen. And then you express that energy as some type of a symbol that can be abstract. And then that symbol is used to transmit that energy. So what that means is a sigil kind of works both ways. You produce the energy of what you want to happen and express it as a sigil. On the other hand, if you come into contact with that sigil, then that sigil brings you into contact with that energy. It's kind of like an antenna. An antenna can both receive and transmit. It's the same thing. It depends on which way the energy is flowing. Now, you could say that any symbol is a type of sigil, especially if you immediately recognize what it is. I mean, look at money. Money is nothing but a giant elaborate sigil, because money intrinsically has little or no value. If you're lost in the desert and you have $1 million in cash, I don't know, you might be able to eat it, but other than that, it's not going to do you much good. You certainly can't drink it. If there's nothing to buy with it, you know, it's meaningless, yet our world revolves around it. It's a symbol, and that doesn't mean it in and of itself is useless. It just means that there is a power behind it, but the power is the unseen part. The power is the meaning that we all agree that it carries. So I became very interested in sigils, and the idea that maybe, you know, these sigils, they really are, they're functioning by helping us to create a tulpa when we're around them. So in other words, you know, we've talked about tulpas being thought forms. So just like you see a dollar bill, and that dollar bill doesn't have any power unless you give it power. So the dollar bill's the sigil, and you looking at it and associating it with power is you creating the tulpa or the thought form that empowers it. Hopefully that makes some sense. So really these sigils are related to the idea of tulpamancy, that you can create things when you come into contact with these sigils. That's where the energy comes from. That's the power supply, so to speak. So anyway, I got interested in how that you might actually view this in a practical scientific way. Like, how do we understand the process of taking an energy and turning it into a symbol? And I started doing a lot of research about this German scientist named Ernst Chladni. First name spelled E-R-N-S-T. Last name spelled C-H-L-A-D-N-I, Ernst Chladni. He lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He was not only a scientist, but a musician. And he was doing these experiments where he would take a thin square of metal, like a metal plate, and he would sprinkle sand over top of it, a thin layer of sand. And then he would run a violin bow down the edge, and you would see these amazing, beautiful patterns that would appear in the sand, like snowflakes. Very similar to the kind of thing that we have on Robert the Doll's sleeve. And this whole concept has been modernized into what scientists now call cymatics. And cymatics is all about taking vibrations and turning them into patterns. So, for example, now you can take an audio speaker and you can put one of those metal plates on top of it with sand, and you can play different tones and you can see all these amazing patterns. But, you know, it also works if you do this with water. And I was especially interested in doing this with water because that here I am right now in the Bermuda Triangle. I'm in Puerto Rico, where I spend a good chunk of my time. And I'm always interested in things regarding water. You have these USOs that go in and out of the water, and I think water is a very key component to all this because the planet is mainly covered with water. Our weather is all about water, and the human body is mainly composed of water, aside from empty space. So, you know, water is a very instrumental element here, and when we go looking for life out there in space, what do scientists say we're looking for first? We're looking for water. So anyway, I decided I was going to start trying to create these patterns in water. So here at my laboratory in Puerto Rico, I created a rig in which I would essentially take various containers of water, different types of water, sometimes salt water, sometimes fresh water, sometimes tonic water, and I'd put these containers of water over top specially modified speakers. And then I would play tones through the speaker, and I would watch these incredible, beautiful, wild, organized patterns appear on the surface of the water. And then I would look at these patterns not only under with different frequencies, but also under different types of light, going back to what I discovered with Robert. So I would look at them under normal lighting, and then I would look at them under ultraviolet lighting, and then I would look at them under infrared lighting, and I could see different varying attributes depending on the type of lighting I was using. And so I started easily creating these kind of three-dimensional forms and patterns in water using cymatics and viewing them under different types of lighting. But here is where I took a little leap. I decided, instead of just playing tones, that I would also go ahead and start introducing some organized intentions or messages to the tones. So I sat down and I recorded a message that said, "I am attracting a ghost." And I interwove that message, "I am attracting a ghost," with a tone. I played that. It gave me a pattern. I videotaped the pattern. I put that pattern on a computer. I took a still from the middle of that. I enhanced it on my computer, meaning I just drew out some of the details. And then I gave it to my wife, Lauren, who is an artist. And I said, "Lauren, take this, if you would please, and draw the highlights into a symbol. I don't care if it makes any sense or not." She says, "Okay." She didn't even know exactly what I was up to at this point. So she creates a symbol, gives it to me, and I said, "That's perfect. Now, this is the symbol to attract a ghost," okay? She didn't know what this was. Lauren went to bed. Me, being the husband of the year, I sneak up there and decide to put the sigil, this symbol I've created, on the bedroom door. I was up the rest of the night. I was sitting downstairs. I was watching TV at 4:30 in the morning. Lauren comes downstairs and she said, "Have you been in the bedroom?" I said, "No." And she said, "There's something weird going on. I think there's a ghost up there." And I said, What do you mean?" And she said, "Something keeps shoving me and it's freaking me out." And she said that on a number of occasions she woke up and with somebody shoving her on the shoulder. And she said it was not just a dream. And that's when I explained to her what I had done. And that's when she explained to me that, no more of that experimentation in this house. That's where she drew a line. I was absolutely thrilled. I couldn't believe this, that this had happened to her. We'd never had anything like that occur here before in this condo. So after that, I got, you know, very excited, and I started making more of these. I made a sigil using a tone, I am attracting psychic experiences, okay? And I created a pattern and sigil out of that. And I had a dream that night. Now, I'm always a vivid dreamer, but this really hit me hard. I had a dream that night that my neighbors were moving, and I had no reason to think that they were going to move. The next day I get up, I see people dragging furniture out. Guess what? They're moving. I made a sigil to attract a flow of money. I took that to a casino, hit two jackpots back to back. I mean, this was getting so wild that I realized, okay, this is worthy of a whole new area of study. And that became what I now call paracymatics. It is the idea that you can take these symbols, these sigils that are created using this technique, and that you can use these things in order to manifest stuff in your life. Now, mind you, what's so cool about this is that the way these patterns appear is not something man-made. I am simply taking these tones, playing them through water, and what appears is a natural organic thing. It's created by Mother Nature and the laws of Mother Nature. And then I just extract the pattern and turn that into the sigil. Anybody could do this if you just want to sit down and take the time and effort to do it. So it's a matter, again, of getting tones, audio tones, of various kinds that are interwoven with messages, playing those tones through a certain type of speaker into a container of water that will create patterns that you then visualize under different types of lighting, videotape, and then extract the symbol from the pattern that appears, and that becomes the sigil. Once you have the sigil, once you have the symbol, all you have to do is keep it near you and look at it as often as possible. That's it. So, I put four of these sigils on my website for free, right there at joshuapwarren.com. One is to attract a ghost. You may or may not want to do that. If you're a paranormal investigator, try it out. One is to attract or enhance psychic phenomena if you want to have more psychic experiences. One is to attract a great flow of money into your life. And one is to attract a romantic partner or love, basically. I'm going to keep making these, but for now, those are the four I have posted at joshuapwarren.com. If you go there, for each one of these, you'll see a still of the actual pattern that I pulled, as well as the symbol next to it. And you can use either one of those, but it's easiest to use the black and white symbol. You can just click on it for a larger version, and then you can either save it to your phone and look at it on your phone or your computer or whatever, or better yet, print it out and stick it. It doesn't matter if it's big or little. Print it out and stick it somewhere where you'll see it a lot, or take it with you if you're going to go somewhere where you want to use it in the field. And you just keep it around you and you look at it. And the idea is that by simply having that there, you are being exposed to the energy intention behind it. That's the idea. This is an experiment, okay? But the funny thing is, when I talked about this on Coast to Coast AM, I got so many emails. I mean, I get a lot of emails anyway. At one day, I got over 2,500 emails from people who were having absolutely incredible, successful experiences using these sigils. here's one. This is one of my favorite ones, actually. This is, okay, listen to this. One person wrote to me and says, quote, "I don't know if this is how the sigil was intended to work, but I fell asleep looking at the money sigil, and when I woke up, I had a penny stuck to my leg. It's especially strange because I had just changed my sheets, and there's no way it was already in my bed. I am almost scared to find out what happens if I concentrate on the love sigil before I go to sleep." End quote. Isn't that great? People are especially, you can imagine, using this money sigil. Here's another one. Quote, "I printed out the money sigil on Sunday night. The past 2 days, there has been a surge of orders in my web store. Since it has been slow all month, and this is my only source of income, this is great news. Just thought I'd let you know, I'm now feverishly printing out the love sigil, ha ha." End quote. Okay. Also, you know what? If you have a wishing machine, you can just take one of these sigils and put it on the input plate of the wishing machine, tune the wishing machine, and use it that way as well. So, everybody who owns a wishing machine should definitely be running to grab one of these. Right now, if you go to joshuapwarren.com and you just scroll down the homepage, you'll find these sigils. But also, right now, I have a video clip there that lasts 90 seconds, and it's just a video showing some of my experiments with this, and you can actually watch how the water transitions through different tones and frequencies under different types of lighting, under infrared and ultraviolet and regular lighting. So I go check out that video. That's just a really cool thing to look at, and it'll give you a better idea of how I've done this. And then, yeah, pick one of those sigils and just, you know, save the thing or print it out or whatever, and let me know how it goes. Now, I am going to be creating more sigils over time, and I'm going to be taking sigils that other people who are experimenting with this now send to me, and I'm going to be occasionally sending them out to you. So if you want to know when these new types of sigils are available and you want to participate in these ongoing experiments, it is very important for you to go to joshuapwarren.com and sign up for my free e-newsletter there. Also, when you do that, you'll get what I call a free good luck charm just for doing that. But yeah, go to joshuapwarren.com, sign up for the free e-newsletter, scroll down the homepage to get the free sigils, watch the video there, and also, I want you to know that the online paranormal investigation classes that I gave were so well received that I have decided for a while to continue making that class available as a recording of the live class experience, because I recorded all those classes. And so for now, if you are interested in taking the classes, let's say you wanted to and you missed it, or you're just now finding out about the paranormal investigation course, you can take it at your own pace online anywhere you live in the world. You can become a certified paranormal investigator through my school, the Warren Institute. So be sure to read about that as well while you're on my website. There's all kinds of cool stuff there listed under the Curiosity Shop. I've got some authentic Santero wands, all that stuff. Remember, there is no period after the P when you visit my website, joshuapwarren.com. All right, folks. I just have so much stuff to tell you about that I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this podcast. But I'm going to be sending you another one soon. And I think I will perhaps finally be ready to tell you about this thing called the Mobius mission. I know I've been teasing it for a long time, but setting this up is such an ambitious endeavor. I want to make sure I do it properly, and I want to make absolutely certain that when we do this, it is done as comprehensively as possible. So I want you to definitely stay tuned for that. Also, in the near future, I'm going to have an update for you on the brand new stories that are coming in through the Asheville Cryptid Society. Okay, the Asheville Cryptid Society is directed by my great friend Christian McLeod. And if you have any type of story about any kind of an unusual creature, especially if it happens to be around Western North Carolina, let us know. You'll find a link there at joshuapwarren.com. I'm a member of the Asheville Cryptid Society, and you can go also to just ashevillecryptidsociety.com. They're also affiliated with my museum, which is in the Asheville Masonic Temple there in Asheville, North Carolina. Our Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, they are booming, and we do those tours right there out of the Masonic Temple. And, in fact, if you are interested in producing any kind of an event in Asheville, contact me. Let me know, and I'll see if I can hook you up with a really good deal over there at the Asheville Masonic Temple, because they have some wonderful meeting spaces. It's just beautiful. So anyway, all that stuff and more, you'll find links to it at joshuapwarren.com. I'll be sending you another podcast soon through my e-newsletter. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your interest and support. Till next time, may the Force be with you.